I guess we're on. There we go. I won't start all over again. But anyway, I started taking bilberry, and I was going like getting stronger and stronger and stronger, so I started taking this stuff, and then it leveled off. I wasn't getting any stronger, and then all of a sudden I started getting weaker. So I've been dropping down. Now I've got a minus 225 in this eye and a 200 here. So the 225 is supposed to help me see further than the 200 to read, but the 200 is too strong now. So I got to go in and get some weaker contacts one of these days. So, but anyway, I made all these notes in my Bible, you know, over the years, and I got one of those little Pigma pens, which I have in here as well. So, you know, probably a bunch of you have that too, and you write real nice and small. That's a problem. If you're young and you can see well, write big. Someday you're going to need it big, right? Now I'm looking for a giant print Bible with wide margin. I don't care, and I want the center column reference, right? So I don't care if it's this thick as long as it's not too big this way. And then I'll transfer all my notes, and by that time I'll be dead because it'll take me that long to get them all transferred over. But by the time I die, I plan on having 20/20 vision. I don't know if that's going to work either. We'll have to see how that goes. But anyway, sure nice to be back with you folks. Been a blessing thinking about the meeting and coming and whatnot, and looking forward to spending the next few days with you. My wife was supposed to be with me, and then her sister gave us a late call and said that she was going to be coming through this week, and she'll be actually there in Thunder Bay right now. And then also my daughter-in-law, one of my daughter-in-laws, and one of our grandbabies, and by the way, you can brag, you have two. We have six, so I don't know, what's your bragging rights like? Oh, two and one. Okay, I see. Well, that's nothing. My daughter-in-law is a twin. So there. I don't know what that has to do with anything either, but well, mine's from Calgary. What's that got to do? But anyway, my daughter-in-law came through with our... They have one granddaughter and one daughter, I should say. They don't have a granddaughter. That's the way to have them, like they say. You know, you should have had your granddaughters first because it's... Can't remember why the reason was now. I thought I had it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if I knew they were going to be so much fun, I would have had them first, right? Something like that. But anyway, so she did that. And then my son, I have two sons there. They're both policemen in Calgary. And the older one, of course, has been on longer and had more training, but they called him up to train in the TAC team. And so, therefore, he's going to have very long days, hard training, and the baby, of course, likes to wake up early, and that would affect him in a lot of ways. So my daughter-in-law and granddaughter stayed longer than they were anticipating staying. They were supposed to go yesterday. Now they're going to be here till November the 2nd. So my wife decided she'd stay home. So there we go. Now, when she's not here, that opens the door for me. Right? Because I can say things now about her which I couldn't say if she was here. So it just gives me a lot more liberty. And not only that, when I come to preach here, I go in the motel room. I never turn the television on. If I see any television that's out where they have breakfast in the morning, that'd be about it. If they got the news on that television, that's all I would see. I make a point of not turning it on so that I can read and pray and study and be ready to preach for the night. So I want to come not just for the sake, okay, I'm not here as a tourist to look around or whatever the case may be. I came here to try and be a blessing, and that's what I want to do. And so this time is basically just dedicated for that particular reason. Now, saying all that, do I feel qualified and able to do this? No. No. You never, ever feel like, well, I can hardly wait till I get up there to show these people what I got. That's not it. And the funny thing is, my topic here, I'm going to preach on the issue of worrying tonight. And I worried about whether my message on worrying was the right message. So here we go. Matthew chapter 6. And I'll start reading in verse number 24 tonight. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Well, not according to the politically correct people. The birds are better than you. That's the way people look at things today. That's not the way God looks at them, but that's the way people look at them. Did you know there are places up in Canada, I don't know if you people are as crazy as we are or not, but there are places where if they're doing logging, if there's a particular kind of bird there, you can't log within a certain distance from where this bird might have his nest. It's more important than you. But God doesn't say that. You're more important than the birds. I'm glad for that. Verse 27 says, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And we'll pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the great love he bestowed upon us. And thank you for his saving grace, and for his power to live for him. And Lord, we pray that you just bless this powerful book tonight and reach every heart. Lord, we all need to be spoken to each and every day. And Lord, we do pray for your blessing upon this entire meeting. But we want you to meet with us tonight because this is the day we're in now. And this is the important minute and moment that we're concerned about. So speak to every heart, Lord, and do your work, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, three times here he says, take no thought. In verse number 25, take no thought for your life. Verse number 31, therefore take no thought, saying. And verse number 34, he says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Now, in other words, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Now, my guess is that some of you folks are worrywarts. I don't know where they got that thing from, but, you know, that's what they say, worrywarts. Do warts worry? I can see you worrying about having warts, but do warts worry? I don't know. Worry warts. Now, some people, they're kind of governed by worldly possessions. They get a whole bunch of them, and then they worry about them. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of a pack rat. I don't have a lot of, you know, worldly possessions per se. Like, I don't have a lot. I don't have a house. I live in a parsonage, that kind of thing. I have a car. And, you know, we have some furniture and those types of things. But I don't have lots of worldly possessions per se. But, you know, I have my spot in the basement. And I have screws and rivets and, pieces of wire and little pieces of metal and all of those kinds of things. And they got their place. And if I go for a walk with my wife, I'm walking along the road. I'm kind of watching the road as I go, and I'll see, you know, maybe a brake springs fell off a car somewhere, and I'll reach down, and my wife says, "Put that thing down. You don't need to bring any more of that stuff home." And every so often, you know, she gets this itchy feeling, and she decides that that spot down the basement has to be dealt with. We have to clean the basement. And then I start to worry. Because, you know, all my good things are down there. I might need that little chunk of metal or that spring or whatever, that screw someday to fix something for her. I hope you women are getting the message. All you men, I'm trying to protect your stuff. But that's generally the way it is. Now, I don't know if, you know, I can only go by experience in our home. I know it's me that's the pack rat. I gotta watch everything. My wife, she'll throw it out. I can't lay anything on the dresser because it'll be gone. I mean, it could be important. It could be $1 million stock. It's gone. It can only be there for so long. And I gotta clear it up. But you know, the funny thing is, she's got booby traps all over the house. Why is it that women put up furniture, you know, and different, you know, things on the wall? They hang them just at the perfect height for you to bump into. Shoulder height, head height, whatever. It's just every place I walk, you got to watch out, you know, for all these things you've got hanging all over the place. But I know an ultimate pack rat. This guy saves everything. I mean, he saves cream cartons. And he saves containers, you know, with that coffee. You know what, French vanilla stuff, whatever, you know, for sissies, guys that drink coffee with that stuff. I mean, if you're drinking coffee, drink coffee, right? You don't want to mess it up with all that, you know, that kind of stuff in your coffee. You don't want that in there. But, I mean, he'll save those things. He'll save Bic, disposable pen, you know, the kind that, you know, can't replace the refill. He's got... He'll save a bunch of those. He'll save whatever you call that little thing where the scotch tape is on, the dispenser type of thing. When that's empty, he saves that. And his daughter mentioned that he actually saves eggshells. After the eggs have, you know, broken the eggs out, he washes the eggshell out and sets them on the window. I don't know what he plans on doing with them, but maybe there's a market for him. I don't know. Maybe he's, you know, maybe he's in on something that I don't know anything about. But, you know, people get all these possessions and then they worry about their possessions. They get concerned about it. Sometimes people squander everything and then they constantly worry about their need. Now, the whole context in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 to verse 34 is about the question of food and drink and clothing. It's like your daily provisions. And then right in the middle of that thing, or not in the middle, but near the end of it, but it's sort of stuck in the context there. He says in verse number 33, "And everybody in the world knows it if you're saved at all, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He throws that in there. Now, a general truth is this, that God takes care of the just and the unjust. God takes care of saved people, and God takes care of lost people. God will make it rain on the lost man's field just like He makes it rain on the saved man's field. He'll make the sun shine on the lost man's field just like He makes the sun shine on the saved man's field. They both get the same benefits in many ways. And that lost man is cussing out God and denying He exists and ignoring His commandments, and God in His goodness takes care of that man just like He takes care of you and I each and every day of our life. All I can say is they ought to be thanking God that He's God and not me. me and electronics just don't get along. You got any jobs at the airport working on electronics, or brother? No. I can't use you as a reference, right? Boy. But you know what? God's people got an added blessing. God cares for his own. He cares for his own. Now, you know what? I've taken care of my children. Well, I don't take care of them. They kind of take care of me now more than I take care of them. When they're growing up, of course, we always provided for all their needs, you know, and provided them with a nice bed to sleep in and clothes to wear and food to eat and all that sort of thing. Now they provide me with clothes. They're bigger than I am. They give me their clothes. They hand them down to me, and I get their pants and things they don't want to wear anymore, and I use them. But you know what? I took care of my kids, but I didn't feel responsible for taking care of all the kids in Thunder Bay. I did feel responsible for taking care of mine, but not everybody else's, right? So God takes care of his own. God loves his own. Now, I help the odd person out that's not in my family, right? Even once in a blue moon, somebody outside. Now, we get calls. I don't know if you get calls here or not, but in Thunder Bay, we get calls all the time from people asking for things. And there's this one woman been calling me. I've been in Thunder Bay for 30 years now, 30 plus years. It was in June, it was 30 years. And this woman calls, and I know her voice. I know her voice almost as well as I know my wife's voice. She's called so many times. When she first started calling, she'd just say, you know, can I get some money? Well, she found out that didn't work. She starts to say, well, you know what? She'd come on a little bit of spiritual line first, then ask for money. Now, whenever she calls, she always asks, you know, is the priest in or is the father in? Kind of gives away her religion if she has one. But anyways, you know what? I think now, after 30 years, I think she recognizes my voice. And you know what? I think it's like, oh no, he's still there. Like, don't they move those guys on when they're in the ministry? Like, they must shift them around. Once in a while, I'm looking for the new priest and the new father. He might be a little more sympathetic to my cause. Well, I can hear her going on the other end of the line. Oh, you want me to give you some money so you can buy some cigarettes and booze or what? I feel responsible to take care of that. And I've almost got sucked in quite a few times. I keep praying and asking God, you know, to help me know what's going on. One day I got this call, and this lady says on the other end of the line, she says, I'm down at the corner store here, she said, and she started giving me this story about how she came from a town in northern Manitoba, and she'd brought this lady down because her mother had died, and when she stopped at the corner store, this other lady kind of took off on her, and she didn't know where she was, and this other lady was paying for all the gas, and now she's stuck here, you know, several hundred miles away from home. She has no money, can't get back home, you know, and I usually quiz and quiz and quiz and quiz, you know, and after you quiz long enough, usually they kind of give themselves away. But I couldn't find any chinks in her armor. So I thought, well, maybe she's legitimate. So I went down the corner store just several hundred feet down the road there, and I get down there and I start talking to her, and I see she's got an ashtray sitting on the dash of her car. Smells smoke coming out of there, you know. But anyway, you know, she looks like she needs some help. And I said, well, and she wants money. I said, well, I won't give you money, but I said, oh, I'll put gas in your tank. And she seemed really hesitant about taking the gas. Now, she said she was out of gas, right? But she's hesitant to take the gas. So finally, she decides, okay, I'll take the gas. She backs her car up and pulls it over to the gas pump. I walk over there, take the nozzle off, and click on the lever, and I'm standing there. She comes out of the car. She's got a big parcel of keys in her hands there, and she opens the lid off there, and she's got a locking gas cap. Well, she's fumbling around there with keys and whatnot, you know, trying to figure out which is going to take this cap off. And it's taken her so long that the lady who owns the corner store comes out and said, hey, what's wrong? What's going on? I said, oh, well, this lady said that she's, you know, been abandoned here by somebody and she needs gas to get back home to... She said, what? She said, she's just up the road here. She's been with her daughter. She came to visit her daughter. That woman ran, got in her car, started up and took off out of there. She couldn't open the gas tank because if I'd have stuck the thing in the nozzle and it would have went click. It was pretty near full. They're all scammers. They're all scammers. You've got to watch out. I had one guy phone me up one time and he says, I need some help. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And he started cussing me out and then hung up. Well, the next day he called back and apologized. Happened one time in 30 years. He apologized. I almost felt like helping the guy after that. But anyway, you only can take on so much. Now, if you're lost, don't bank on God's care. God does take care of the just and the unjust, but I'll tell you what, He is under no obligation to take care of the lost. They're not even His children. They're children of the devil. That's who they belong to. Now, verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is your daily needs that are mentioned earlier in the chapter. And of course, that can include the saved as well. You need to be right with God in order for Him to take care of things for you, I believe. Now, worry is a definite force and a power. It's a crippling force. It doesn't help you at all. Psychiatric hospitals are filled with people who are there because they've been crippled by worry. Worry gets the best of them, and it can destroy you. It's a major force. Now, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. A waste of time, a waste of energy. You could be reading Scripture or praying while you're reading, instead of worrying all the time, you're worrying. It's absolutely foolish. It's utterly futile. It has no value at all. It's a pure waste of energy. It's totally unproductive. Totally. Now, am I saying you're never going to have any problems? No. Ever since man fell into sin, he's had problems. He's had problems. You're going to have problems. Folks, it's almost like every day has a quota of problems. You just don't know what they're going to be necessarily, right? But it's just like, okay, what's it going to be today? Anybody have any problems today? People are afraid. You don't know what I'm going to do with that, right? You're afraid to put your hand in case I use it against you. I won't, I promise. But listen, everybody has problems. Everybody has problems. That's just the way life is. You're going to have problems. If you didn't have problems today, maybe tomorrow you're going to have some. Now, Jesus Christ came to live and die for my sin, but there's not one word about Him worrying about the crucifixion day. I mean, He recoiled at the thought of Him going there and dying on that cross and receiving that cup of sin, having the sin of every man, woman, I mean, every person that's ever been alive on the face of the earth. Jesus Christ bore that on Himself. He recoiled at that, but He did not worry about the fact that He was going to go to the cross. That was not something that worried Him. We worry way too much. Now, if you're in the will of God, the entire universe can burn and you'll be as safe as can be. What are you worrying about? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in that fire, right? They came out of there. There wasn't a hair of their head singed or an eyelash. I mean, their clothes weren't burned. There wasn't even a smell of smoke on them. They went in there. The boys wouldn't bow, and the king got mad, and he said, turn the furnace up high. Tie them up and throw them in. Those Hebrew boys are going to fry. Then a little while later, he looked into the furnace, and he heard Brother Shadrach say, pull up a chair, boys, and warm your hands, because I came here to stay. Now, don't overrun me after service wanting to buy my upcoming CD, please. But you know what? Worry cripples people. Some worry about the future. In verse 34, he said, you're not supposed to do that. He said, don't even worry about tomorrow. That's the future. Some worry about the past. Mistakes and sins they made in the past, they worry about that. Now, unless it's a crime you committed and you still haven't been caught for it yet, you know, that's pretty stupid to worry about that. Why would you worry about something that happened in the past? I had a family come to me. They drove, many, many hours. The wife had done something when she was a young teen, had committed some sin. And listen, folks, she had a good husband. She had good children. She was going to a good Bible-believing church. She had everything, but she was such a pain to her pastor and her husband and her children because she couldn't get rid of that past. And worried about it almost every day of her life, it burdened her. Just seems so crazy, so ridiculous. And I think the devil has a heyday with people like that. Now listen, it's under the blood. If Jesus Christ saved you, He took that sin away. It's gone. If you're lost, it's still on you. But if it's under the blood, it's gone. Why worry about it? Nothing you can do. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And listen, if anybody had something to worry about in the past, it was the Apostle Paul. He had blood all over his hands. He had people tortured and put to death. And he said, forgetting it. Forgetting it. That'd be pretty tough to forget. But Christ already paid for it. You can forget it. It's gone. Now, drug companies just love people that worry. It's big bucks. People can't sleep at night because they worry. Now, you know what I do when I worry? And I can't sleep at night? I get up and I read. And about half an hour, sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, it varies. My eyes get real heavy. And I go back to bed, and I go to sleep. Works real well. And you know, it's a lot cheaper than drugs. And it's a lot better for you. There's one particular lady who used to come to our church, and she's saved. I'm saved, sure. But that lady would call me, and just about every day, talk about her past. And the things that she went through, and the things that she was worrying about, and I would give her scripture and advice and tell her what to do and how it was under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It went on and on and on. Finally, I said, listen, you cannot call me anymore. What's the point? Listen, nobody can help you. No pastor, nobody can help you if you will not respond to what God says to do about something. We don't have the fix. Jesus Christ is the fix. He's the answer. I said, that's it. I'm done. Now, the God who wants to help you today will still be here tomorrow. He wants to help you today and He wants to help you tomorrow. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. Doesn't that sound really great and theological? But He is. He is. And listen, God's not going to deal with tomorrow's problems today. He is not going to deal with tomorrow's problems today. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's the step you're taking now. Not the step you're going to take tomorrow. Why would God deal with that one when you haven't taken this one? He won't deal with that. Learn to trust God day by day. Our Lord's Prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our monthly bread. How about our yearly bread? How about my retirement bread? 60,000 loaves. I'll put it someplace. There will be freezer burnt or eaten up with the worms. Now, we had a bread bakery in Thunder Bay, folks. It was called Wholesome Bread. There was nothing wholesome about it. If you took a piece of white bread and rolled that thing up there, you could get it into a ball about the size of a little, maybe a BB. Throw that in your mouth. Boy, that'll really nourish you, won't you? Won't it? You can put that stuff on the shelf. I'm telling you what, go back a year later, it looked just as good as it was. I mean, the day they made it, it must have been full of formaldehyde. I think undertakers got their idea on how to preserve bodies by looking at that bread. Scientifically analyzed it. But he says, give us our daily bread. God will provide for us by the day. Not by the month. Not by the year. But each and every day. Now, when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you trusted Him forever. For your soul's sake, you trusted Him forever. But in another sense, you have to trust Him every single day. He mentions birds here, called fowls of the air. And he said, they don't reap. God feeds them and takes care of them. When's the last time you saw a crow sitting in a tree somewhere, rubbing his wings in worry, saying, where's my next meal coming from? I know where it's coming from. It's going to be the roadkill of the rodent that you run over with your brand new car. Go worry about it. God has a way of taking care of things. But He says daily, you've got to trust Him each and every day. Listen, folks, even when it comes to grace, God's grace, ministering to your needs. Listen, you can't get a bunch of it and store it up somewhere, hold on to it and say, okay, I've got grace now. I'm ready for anything. God gives you grace when you need the grace. That's when He gives it to you. The martyrs were given grace when they needed it. I remember either hearing the story or reading the story. It took place in church history. Your pastor is much more familiar with church history than I am. He maybe knows and remembers the story better than I do. But I remember these two men, an old man and a young man. They're in a cell, and they're both going to be burned at the stake the very next day. And that young man was concerned that he was going to deny his Savior and back out before they could burn him at the stake. He was so nervous, and the older man was trying to keep him calm and saying, it'll be okay, God will give you the grace. And they had a candle in that cell, lighting the cell up, and somehow that young man got his hand near the candle and burned his hand. He said, he said, man, look at that. He said, I can't even take my hand being burnt by a candle. How on earth am I ever going to put my body at the stake and let my whole body burn? And the old man in his wisdom said this. He said, God didn't give you grace to burn your hand on a candle. But God will give you grace to burn at the stake tomorrow. And that young man went out and burned at the stake and did not deny his Lord and Savior. Now, when you need God, He'll be there before you get there. When they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the burning fiery furnace, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't standing back and saying, oh no, I didn't even notice. Look at that. They're throwing them in there. I better get in there. He saw them standing on the plains of Dura, refusing to bow to the false gods. He said, I know what's going to happen to those boys. I'm going to get in the first. I'm going to be in there before they get in there. And when they threw them in there, I'll tell you what, they're looking right into the face of their Savior. Now, had they not stood and refused to bow to that wicked king's God, they'd have missed the opportunity to meet their Savior in the fire. God will give you grace when you need grace. Now, I know there are a number of you here tonight that worry about everything. So how do you know that? Well, your pastor told me. Told me all your sins so you can hear about it this week. No, he didn't tell me. Didn't tell me anything. I just know people. I just know me. I know what we're like. We worry. Now listen, some of you husbands, you drive your wives crazy with worry. Some of you wives drive your husband crazy with worry. Some of you teens drive your parents crazy with worry. Some of you teens give your parents good reason to worry. But people are like that. They worry.
And listen, there's no shortage of things to worry about. There's health issues to worry about. Your health, your children's health, your parents' health, there's so many things to worry about. So many things. We have one family in our church right now. The wife, probably about a year and a half ago, one of her brothers died from cancer. He had no sooner died, and a few months later, a second brother they diagnosed with brain cancer. He's right now basically can't use his left side. He's in a wheelchair, can't get into a vehicle. It's a matter of time. That same family, so one brother dead, another one diagnosed with cancer. Now, a sister of the two brothers that had the cancer, the sister only has a few days to go. She's dying of cancer. It's like when it rains, it pours. There's lots of things to worry about. Lots of things to worry about. Should I buy life insurance or should I not buy life insurance? You worry about that. Should I buy a grave plot? That seems to be a fad. I don't know why. I'm not buying any grave plot. I'm going to let my wife worry about that. Now, I don't know if I'm going to get raptured or not, but I'm looking for the blessed hope. I'm not looking for a grave. Man, they'll put you on a payment plan. So much a month. What if the rapture takes place before? I wonder what those guys will do with that money. Wouldn't you worry about that? Should I buy a grave plot? Should I save money for a rainy day? Not if you plan on living off roadkills like the birds. Won't have to. Lots of ways to get by. But you know what? Birds don't sow and reap and gather into barns, but men do. Men do. Look over in Proverbs for a second here. I'm just about done. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Look in verse number 6. It says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." Notice he says in verse number 6, the ant is a wise little critter. Wise. Now look in chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 24. He says, "There are four things which are little upon the earth, but are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." Now, not just wise, but exceeding wise. Now, is he talking about an IQ test? No. He's talking about being exceeding wise because they store up food in the summer for the winter. And God looks at that and says, that's exceeding wise. If they didn't store up for the winter during the summer, they would be exceeding stupid. Thank you. I knew somebody would get it. They're wise, exceeding wise. Now, a lot of people create their own worries. I know an individual that ran up almost $70,000 in credit card debt. Do you know what the interest rate on credit cards is? Like 18, 19%. I can generally look at a situation and say, okay, if you do this, this, and this, and this, you'll be able to, we're going to be very difficult, but you get through it. There was no way to get through it. It didn't matter how you looked at it. You could not get through that. It was impossible. Impossible. People do that. Now, if you're seeking the kingdom of God first, I don't believe you'll make that kind of stupid decision. God will give you wisdom and say, and by the way, the individual that runs up the debt like that couldn't say, well, okay, look, I spent all that money, but look at what I've got. Where is it? There was nothing. It was just on nothing. Nothing tangible you could point to and say, there it is, that's what I spent it on. It was gone. It was gone. Now, trouble strikes while you're seeking after God. Just watch Him come through in your behalf and provide for you with grace and peace. Grace and peace. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God tells you not to worry. If you worry, when He tells you not to worry, is God going to deal with it? I wouldn't think so, because your greatest need at that point would be to learn to not to worry. How can He say, okay, I'll take care of it because you worried about it? When I told you don't worry. I got to leave you worrying until you get to learn not to worry so that I can take care of it for you. Be careful for nothing. Don't get all excited about it. Now, live right and God will take care of you. Exercise your faith so that when it grows, it'll provide you with confidence in the hard times. And refuse to worry. Give it up. Give it over to God. Give it to Him. You know what? Worry may even steal your opportunity of being blessed in this meeting. You got something on your mind, you're not going to hear what God has for you. You're going to miss it. Because that thing's going to be there all the time working away, trying to get you. Somebody wrote a little poem. It goes like this. All the water in the world, however hard it tried, could never, never sink a ship unless it got inside. All the hardships of this world might wear you pretty thin, but they won't hurt you one least bit unless you let them in. You have a choice. Now, my God has seen me through every trial and hardship I've ever faced. He's never failed me. Never failed me one single time. And yet I worry. Isn't that crazy? The craziest thing. Most of the things you worry about never come to pass. Should have kept the list. You should have kept the list. We all should have kept the list. All the things we worried about. And then gone back and said, how many actually came to pass? What a waste of time. The songwriter says, day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause to worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. All we need to learn is that whatever life's bestowments are, they're coming from a kind, loving Father. They're coming from Him. And He's trying to get us to rest completely in Him and not worry about today or tomorrow or next week or next month or ever. You got something you're worrying about? Why don't you give it to Him? He doesn't want you to have it. You're taking something that doesn't belong to you. You're not supposed to have it. Give it up. Give it up. All right, we'll pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you, Lord, for your care and concern for us. Lord, we are, in a lot of cases, worry warts. We're worried about so many things, Lord, that are none of our business even. And Lord, I'm sure that every one of us can say amen to this thought. We're guilty of worrying about things we shouldn't. And Lord, I pray as we have this invitation time, you'd have your will and way in every heart. If someone needs to come here, Lord, and become one of your children, need to be saved, bring them and help them to trust you as Savior. Just work, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed just for a few minutes here. Call to the altar will be obvious tonight. I come from a family of worry warts. I know what it's like. Father, thank you for these words tonight. Lord, in a day where so many we hear talk daily about how much hangs on an election and who gets elected and that sort of thing, in a day when the economy seems shot, there are so many things, Father, to be distracted by and just to sit and fret and stew and simmer and worry. It's good to have the balm of Gilead applied on these things here tonight to be reminded that nothing takes Jesus Christ by surprise and nothing takes God by surprise. We know the one that's on the throne always. We appreciate your watch care over us. None of us really have anything to complain about, Father. Most of the trouble we've ever gotten into, for the most part, has been our own doing. And that's not been our doing, Lord, was a trial intended to strengthen us. We pray tonight that you would help us in these things. We appreciate the words. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Stand number 297. Sing a couple of stanzas. The altar is still open. If you decide the Lord's spoken and you've not responded, feel free to come. 297. Brother Nolan's message tonight. I'm glad you guys were here. And again, you pray, and by the grace of God, you get something that you need. Amen. How many of you here have worried significantly in the last week about something? There you go. It's nice to have the balm applied at the right moment. Amen. Nice to be comforted in a God that cares and is going to fix things. Right? Let's bow our heads now. Word of prayer will be dismissed. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock again. Father, we are reminded of a good God that we serve. He's not just great and omniscient, all those things, but He's good, and He's good to us. Appreciate, Father, kind words in an hour when a lot of folks need it. I'm reminded that no matter what happens with an election, no matter what happens with an economy, a job search, we have a God that cares. And He does care more for us than the sparrows. And Father, we're just grateful for it. We thank You for what we have in Jesus Christ. Pray, Father, You'd help somebody that's really struggled with something here to be able to grasp a hold of this. And Father, we know that there's many trials ahead. We ought not sit around and worry about the trials ahead. Father, help us live each day to the full. Pray You'd strengthen us to do that. Give us that grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, good night. Appreciate you being here tonight.